Ladies and gentlemen, we do a lot of hard work on the show Cord Killers, which is not this show, in order to figure out how to watch what you want, when you want, where you want. And this is the show where we reap the benefits. Ladies and gentlemen, it's spoiler in time. I'm Tom Merritt. He's Brian Brushwood. And today we are going to spoil Sherlock Episode 3, Season 4, Justified Episode 2, Season 5, and we're going to spoil the trailer for Logan, Brian.
AKA the reason I'm going to win the Winter Movie Draft!
Dude, finally agree with me.
Look at this. Look at this. Sing has pulled in $250 million. Rogue One is out of steam. I know you got other movies. Technically, yes.
I now have Collide instead of Amityville, The Awakening, which is now what I'm going to point to if I lose.
Oh, like, well, please. I just plan to stomp. I'm just going to curb stomp and keep on going. Hidden Figures brought in, I bought it for $6. It's brought in $80 million. So right now, the number one Best Buy of the draft was Sing at $15. That's pulled in $250 million. The number two Best Buy is now Hidden Figures that I bought for $6. That's pulled in $83 million. I don't want to call, but you know what? If maybe some other movies will choke. Maybe Triple X, Gold, 50 Shades Darker, John Wick, Chapter 2. And Logan, maybe they'll all bite the bullet.
You have to make up $220 million plus maybe another few million. You know, basically, you make up $240 million out of those and you're golden. You're likely to make that just from Logan in the first 4 weeks.
I think this might be, have we had a billion-dollar winter draft before? I think on paper, Star Wars The Force Awakens did, but that one was at a reduced
level. What's the usual winning total for the winter draft?
That's like around $600 to $700 million is what it tends to be. But in this case,
So DTNS with $664 million is in the normal range.
Correct.
But Costco Brian and his bulked up lineup is definitely going to make more money. I also think I want to say maybe the longer season, we have a longer winter season, might have helped, but in a way it should have hurt. Because February and January are usually lower revenue months.
That's right. Because I think 1 year we had closed out the winter draft. Like, we'd started earlier all the way into September, and then we wrapped up mid-January. Or actually, we finished, beginning of January, and it was the year that Lincoln came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was amazing, too. But, dude, and let's spoil the Logan trailer, which I've watched 5 times and definitely burst into tears, at least one of them. Like, I had the involuntary thought just infiltrating my mind, and I don't know where this came from, but I just thought, that's what a real man looks like when he takes care of his daughter. And then I burst into tears.
So it wasn't just that Logan is going to give you the money you need to win the movie draft.
Well, partly is that that's when I knew I was going to win the draft, was watching it. But mainly because it is the closest we're ever going to get to a Last of Us movie. It is the end of an era of X-Men and mutant films. It is the beginning of a new era because it marks the first rated R one, which means it's going to be the first X-Men movie that looks like the X-Men. They even acknowledge the X-Men comic books, but they also are all framed, everything's framed as them being the old guard and falling apart. And I'd hate to say it, but international treasure, Sir Patrick Stewart, will not be with us forever. And of course, they're playing that very heavily, both in the role he plays in the movie and the way they represent it in the trailer.
Well, yeah. Okay. So this trailer starts off as what's this about? If you don't already know that you clicked on the Logan trailer.
By the way, real quick. One person on Twitter said, watch the red band trailer. And I was convinced it was just going to be gratuitously extra bloody or whatever. But instead, there's just two great lines that happen to have adult language. And I totally agree. Watch the red band trailer when you watch it.
So this has, a girl in a convenience store, and it turns out she's got powers, and then Logan steps in and stops them, and you immediately know, oh, okay, this is the trailer for Logan. But then it turns into a ragtag band with Logan as the father figure and the young mutant as the daughter figure and Patrick Stewart as sort of the disabled grandpa that they carry around mostly in the backseat of the car.
Yeah. No, it's going to hit all of the notes. This is allegedly the very last time you're going to see Hugh Jackman in the role that defined that for many people started in childhood. And now he will end as those people are now becoming fathers themselves of children. This is going to he's got goosebumps. The pacing is amazing. Just watch the trailer. Just watch it a million times and you're going to love it.
All right, let's move along and spoil episode 3, season 4 of Sherlock, which I actually spent quite a bit of time this weekend talking to Justin Robert Young over text message about, because when we had him on, we told him that we thought he would like episode 2 better, and I told him I thought he would hate episode 3. We were right. He definitely liked episode 2 better. Thought it was a good classic Sherlock episode, but he didn't hate episode 3 quite as much as I did. I just thought this episode was very disappointing for a Sherlock episode. Well, my problem with it, my problem with it is a good Sherlock episode has you either not guessing what's going to happen or feeling really clever because you did guess what happens. Sherlock is not as fun when you guess what happens and they do something different and you kind of feel like what you guessed would have been better.
So, okay. And I thought the exact same thing in different terminology. If I do a magic trick and you're convinced you know how it works, then even if you're wrong, you did not experience magic. Yeah. So if you are disappointed because it's so obviously a thread, and then after the show you come up, you're like, well, you know, it's just a bummer. It's just obviously a thread. And you're like, oh, no. It's got magnets and animatronics and these laser and I sold my soul to the devil. You're like, oh, well, I wish I had known that. And I think you and I had the same experience because you see the little girl waking up and everybody's asleep on the plane. And instantly you think, okay, pressure leak. Girl's got a young metabolism, able to whatever Moriarty thinks. But the whole time thinking that, waiting for them to get to that part. And then they're just like, psych, made up story. Duh, not even happening. That was pretty disappointing. And it also reminded me exactly why I stopped watching Doctor Who. This was a Doctor Who episode. And here's the problem. Doctor Who can secretly be a wizard and he can secretly have a magic wand. And that could be delightful if you don't get too close to just making everything be magic and be rubber. Once you do that, then I'm like, okay, you're just a wizard with a magic wand. Sherlock can secretly be Doctor Who and Dr. Watson can secretly be the companion of the month. And that can work as long as you don't get too close to it just being, well, this is obviously just Doctor Who. Now they're going to some crazy island with upside down and all of a sudden they're inventing relatives and all that stuff. And they cross that line and it just became Doctor Who.
Yeah. And that, I think that's a very fair comparison because I actually love Doctor Who because I have different expectations. What I want out of Doctor Who is the doctor to come along and save the day and maybe give a righteous speech about how, you know, he's on the side of right. And you can leave plot holes miles wide. As long as I get that little serotonin hit, I'm into it. That's why I like the David Tennant years the best, because those are some of the best examples of that. Sherlock, on the other hand, is the, you are going to fool me and delight me with how you fooled me. Not, I'm going to give a righteous speech at the end. And one of the other examples of my disappointment with this episode was the Moriarty thing, which we had been teased. Oh, he's back, but how can he be? He's back. He's dead. And I was very excited for them to show me, like, I don't know how he can be dead and be back, but I know you're going to convince me that he can be dead and be back. And they didn't. They didn't convince me at all. And in fact, what I expected partway through was that Moriarty had, in fact, set up a post-mortem plan. If you've ever read the book Demon by Daniel Suarez,
yep.
I wanted something along those lines. Like he created a system that would outlive him and execute his will. And that's what I mean when what you expected might sound better than what happened is disappointing, because that's not what the plot is. The plot is that he came in and like created some cool sound effects for Euros
and that
was it.
That's the real crime, is not that he was or wasn't back, but that they spent so much time, like from the beginning, from the end of last season, teasing that there's more Moriarty, and they spent so much time psyching you out where you think, oh, this is the Moriarty bit, but then it wasn't. And then when it got to the final part for the reveal, it was like, oh, also, by the way, oh, I'm sorry, did you even care about Moriarty? Because you're dumb for having cared about Moriarty, even though we were the ones talking it up all the time. Turns out there's a crazy sister that exists, and he's just the Michael Winslow of this police academy here. And it's like, no, knock it off, Sherlock. The worst part about this whole thing is when it gets to that big, when they use the cheap pop of yet again the Force Obi-Wan Kenobi dead wife comes back again to give a rousing speech about, yes, you see, children, 221B Baker Street really is a TARDIS that can be infinitely recreated. And no matter, you know, if you have the means and you can find them, perhaps you can hire the A-Team. And it's like, as she's saying it in this fairy tale wrap up, I'm mad at the cheap pop, but then I'm also welling up, you know, and I'm like, they will always be there, those rapscallions.
And that's the thing, is like, you, I felt like, oh, I wish I felt sadder. I'm like, oh yes, this is the right goodbye, but I'm so annoyed by the rest of the plot that I can't properly enjoy this lovely goodbye.
I was able to, much to my surprise, get swept up along for the silly ride. I hated on paper so much about this episode. I hated the by the numbers, like, now you're on level 2, and this is clearly, like, dude, if I want to watch video games, I'll go turn on Twitch, you know? But I still got swelled up at the end, and you can't watch the first two and not watch the third, so just shut up, and you're going to like enough of it that you won't be mad.
And in case you're over-interpreting our criticisms, it's still better than most of the television that you will watch.
But I would say only if you've watched everything up until this. Like, if you had one episode to show, this would be the last one I would ever show anyone. They were like, this is like that Doctor Who.
Might be the last one that ever gets shown to any of us. So there you go.
And that's fine. Yeah, I know. Sawyer's very upset.
He's very, very upset about
that. Says, don't say it. It's not true.
No, I want more Sherlock. All right. Let's move on to Justified Episode 2, Season 5, where we're back in Harlan.
Yeah, man. Talking about...
Or actually not back in Harlan, just back in Kentucky. We were in Miami. We were in Florida last time.
Talking about Sherlock being cranked up to 11. By the way, if you missed the main show, Tom's basement is flooded, which is why he's moved in with the dogs.
Yeah, the dogs are upstairs and going to go in the kennel real shortly here.
This episode, I guess on paper, we always say we like Raylan doing Raylan-y things. This episode might take it a little too Raylan. That's So Raylan was the original title of this episode.
I still like Raylan doing Raylan-y things. It was almost too much Raylan when he started hitting on the social worker.
And stealing the guy's car and then moving into his house.
That part because he went through channels, they show us the process. I'm like, okay, I guess I can swallow that because they justified it for us on screen.
I'm going to let that one go.
I think this is going to be a really interesting season because I see them lumbering to put all these pieces in place. But I felt like I was watching about three or four different episodes and they weren't necessarily even bad episodes, but I kept thinking like, oh wow, is this the same show I started like 20 minutes ago?
Yeah. I had a hard time, you know, art's always been the moral, as close to by the book as we're going to get, but art just shrugging and say like, I don't know. Is it legal for us to steal a house? I guess. Go ahead.
He ain't stealing a house. He's just watching it while it's owned
from the
by
inside
the Marshall Service,
pooping in their toilets and eating their food.
and actually, that is pretty timely. And we're almost caught up to modern day. These aired in 2015, I think, right? Or 2014.
Yeah.
It's very timely in the controversy over the possession laws where the government does get to seize these sorts of properties. And a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, why? Why do you get to do that?
Yeah, well, and that was the other thing, too, is it probably didn't hurt that I'm a staunch opponent of a corrupting policy such as that. But what was the other plot? When Duffy needing to floundering, explaining supply lines and stuff to all the local dealers. And then all of a sudden just walking in like a boss, Boyd Crowder says, you know, you don't care what antenna's broke. You just want your damn phone calls to go through. Don't worry. Tomorrow, damn phone calls will go through. And everyone drinks on the house. I'm Boyd Crowder. Despite the fact that I definitely beat someone to death. Ooh, but the whole Russian bride entering as a player, very interesting to me. And
yeah, I found that to be one of the probably the most compelling storyline of the seven or so storylines.
I would say the only one that really pulled me.
You think she's going to betray Boyd, but she's really just buying time. And it was very cleverly done on her part.
Well, and it was great because it was good pop. She was buying into the game, but then also at the end, you realize that she had leverage on her because she made a chump out of that cop. And she just realized, like, look, man, there's a ticket out of here. I want to make it happen. I would say that was only the only truly compelling piece of this whole thing to me. That and maybe seeing Boyd in a higher position than Wynn for all of 5 seconds was interesting.
Well, and Boyd has been sort of at a loss to help Ava out. I'll be glad when we can get Ava out of jail. Because I feel like they're just sort of shoehorning her in every episode, so we know she's still on the show.
Yeah.
But it's not really helping move things along much. But yeah, the very clever setup of the bride was great. I'd say 60% of Raylan was good Raylan for me, and some of it was out of character. He is always very subtly like interested in the ladies, but that interaction with the social worker
was
felt
gross,
so
right?
blunt, especially when they just went to so much work to set him up as sort of a father figure for Loretta.
Yeah. And then in walks this, this sassy walker with pre-written one-liners and, you know, Raylan rolling his eyes, like, I guess I know what I'm tapping next. You know, it just felt gross to me in a way that, it didn't seem like a young hero catting around. It seemed like a father figure trying to screw anything that would move, and it felt kind of yucky to me.
Yeah, it did. What did you think of the plot line with Loretta's boyfriend and the two toughs, the two enforcers? I felt like it was a lot going on, so it was another plot line to keep a track of, but Raylan facing down them and them not being totally cowed by Raylan, I thought wasn't too bad.
Nah, I didn't really feel the tension of that. I felt like, well, now it's my turn to give a speech. Well, now it's my turn to give a speech with a star. And then I was like, okay. Although fun to, it's, there's a word for it when I'm allowed to, and there's a reason for it. And it's anyway, I did enjoy seeing that kid get smashed in the face with the shovel, though. That was satisfying.
And then what's funny to me, I'm looking at the episode description on Wikipedia, and it starts out, Dewey's ruthless cousin Daryl descends upon Harlan. I'm like, oh, right. I forgot that happened in this episode, because essentially just shows up at the end of the episode.
Yeah. You know what I started doing now? I loaded up on Amazon, and I just scrub forward and backwards looking at pictures. That's so much easier for me to remember what all's happening during the episode.
No, smart.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Daryl's going to make a play to get Dewey's $300,000. Everybody needs $300,000, though. That's easy to remember, right?
Sure. That's the number. Well, unless you're the Russian bride, in which case you know you're only getting $100,000 from Boyd.
Yeah. But she's, it's so impressive how she kept her options. Like, she's got an option if her husband recovers. She's got an option with the sheriff. She's got an option with Boyd. She's got nothing but options.
Yeah. Can I tell you, I was, like, disappointed that the little girl's just, like, unrepentantly, like, nope, gonna go into a life of crime. I'm gonna play boys for all they're worth, just like that lady.
I'm eventually not disappointed that Loretta obviously is going to sling pot, right? That just seems like, well, okay. But I'm disappointed that that's all it is.
Exactly.
Like, there's no extra, but I'm doing it because I want to escape Harlan. There's no added thing to her right now.
What's funny is, it's like, I'm not disappointed that you're doing it. I'm disappointed you're doing it so badly. Like, it seems to me like the Loretta that we've come to know would be a lot more clever and not just get a boyfriend to dig a hole or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that is, I mean, that's what Raylan's feeling too. So maybe we're supposed to feel like, Loretta, you're better than this. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. But still enjoying it. Still digging it. Still in for the ride.
Definitely. Although it's funny, like, noticing that these aired in 2014, I started to realize, I'm like, oh, we're going to have to start thinking about by around mid this year, we're going to have to start thinking about our next library show.
Yeah, dude. Excited. That'll be fun. Yeah. Everyone start arguing about it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to make another play for Hannibal.
That's going to be real tough.
Why?
Because I don't like procedural dramas. I don't
it's
like...
It's got an arc, doesn't it?
I also don't like food shows, and that whole show is...
It also got...
I don't like...
I guess a food show.
I derive no pleasure from watching other people enjoy food.
Didn't it also kind of end... rushedly hurt.
Yeah, it kind of got wrapped
up. I don't know if it got...
Well, I want it to be something that neither one of us have seen, that a lot of people say is worth watching, and I'd really prefer it to be in a different genre this time.
Have you watched all of Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, I'm a couple seasons behind.
Maybe just for a light romp, we could take like the two most recent seasons. We could get caught up with the two most recent seasons, which I don't think both of us have seen. And then we could watch the next. Then that could be our real time one after that, and we could fold something else in.
Oh yeah, no, that's a cool way to go about it. All right, well we got time to plan, so keep the suggestions coming. Thanks everybody for supporting us on Patreon, and we will spoil you next time.
Love you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.